Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you guys, smooth drama. Smooth Drama.
All right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-Word. And I'm joined, as always, by my illustrious co-host, Miss 100%. And if you want to holler at us, number is 646-929-2037. Once again, the call-in number is 646-929-2037. And, of course, we want y'all to holler at us, so we encourage you to go to our website, www.smoothdrama.com. Check us out. You know, we got a few things on there. And very soon, be looking out, we're going to update the site a little bit, add a little excitement. We're going to get 100 and some videos doing her thing. if you want a social network with us, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, tag My Yearbook. On Twitter, you can follow me in Smooth Drama. Facebook, My Yearbook, tag I'm Dick Hugger. Look up Smooth Drama. You can't help but find us. We everywhere. But as always, I know y'all ain't really trying to holler at me. You really want to talk to my co-host. So tell them, my illustrious co-host, where can they spot you at?
If they wanted to catch up with me, they can always email me, miss100% at yahoo.com, or email me at imnotonbs@yahoo.com. They can follow me on Twitter at 100, or they can catch up with me on Facebook, miss100% spelled out.
Yep, and there it is. And the word for the week this week is fantasioso. How did we get to fantasioso? Well, you know, we have mafioso out there. Our crew is the fantasioso. You know, those people who are part of this world, but they're not of it. We haven't quite grasped where they come from. And I know y'all thinking like they used to think in the early part of this century. Nah. There wasn't no such thing as a mafia. So, nobody believed in the mob. Remember that? There ain't no organized crime like that. Fantasioso. Don't think they organized. Don't think they all together. And they working together. It's a conspiracy to get us all.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we done with this show, I think me and Miss 100% going to convince you. The fantasioso, they exist. Starting. Proof exhibit number one. Fake pregnancy bellies are popular in China. The online sales are increasing. And they're selling from $79 to $252. The bellies are available several sizes, depicting different stages of pregnancy. The most favorable ones would be 5 to 7 month pregnancy stage. Because, as you know, Miss 100%, there ain't nothing like pretending like you're pregnant to make you feel better about yourself.
To get some sympathy. Make people pay more attention to you.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
You think so? You think that you're going to get the attention of the guys by being pregnant?
It don't matter about the guys. It could be used for people who already have a man and, you know, they want that attention. You got to understand, like, again, it's fantasioso. So these are people who don't deal in reality, you know?
Right. So, I mean, because you
talk about that attention so bad that they will do anything to get it.
I'll just say this. I don't think that your man would appreciate you faking pregnancy.
Whose man?
Anybody's man.
I was about to say. Let's not do that one.
I'm just saying. I mean, you said that, yeah, they want attention. I'm thinking, yeah, you'll get attention, but then you'll get those unwanted questions like, who's the father?
Yeah.
I don't know. And if you got a boyfriend and everybody's like, congratulations, and he's like, for what? Be some complications.
Well, yeah, I'm tripping off of the price of the thing. Like, it's in China, dude.
It's online, though. You can get yours online. That's what.
So they're making them in China, but they're really for the people here in the U.S. to use, because I don't see Chinese people wanting to be pregnant. I mean, they have enough, don't they?
Well, I guess for the women, if you fake pregnant, you can get out of work. I don't know.
No, the hell you can't. Not in China. They don't care.
What are you trying to say?
I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying they don't care.
Yeah.
They work hard over there. Not like us, shit.
Well,
oh, my finger hurt. Okay, you can take 2 weeks off. Shit, over there, they don't care if you're pregnant.
Yeah, but see, there's that point when the baby doesn't arrive.
Well, that would be an awkward moment, I guess.
Yeah.
But remember, people that do this always have a miscarriage, remember?
Okay.
They always fake a fall or, you know, fake that somebody beat them up or some, you know, it's fantasy also. It has to deal with, you know, living in a fantasy world and trying to get sympathy. Trust me. It's a crazy, remember the rules.
We dealing with something. I mean, like, you don't believe in fantasy also yet? They're trying to come out with a car that supposedly has crash avoidance technology. It's going to have a system that can alert drivers and cut the number of crashes on roads. Because, you know, computers are smarter than people, and computers are completely infallible. And if you have a computer in your car, like your computer at home, it will always work perfectly for you.
It just keep refreshing for no reason. So they're saying if you're about to crash, this smart technology will sense that you're about to have a wreck.
Yeah.
And it will take over.
Yeah.
Really? So it can work in reverse too then, right?
Well, what are you trying
because
to say?
Because it's a computer. Well, we all know that computers, they jack up all the time.
Right.
So, because they're man-made. So that means that you can just be driving down the street and nothing's happening, and all of a sudden, danger, danger, and all of a sudden it starts to drive your ass off a cliff because
right.
It's thinking that you're about to have an accident.
Right.
It can work in reverse. So I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary, actually.
I thought it was kind of scary, too, which is the reason why I brought it up. I mean, not only that, but you get them funny hackers.
Right. I don't think
it's hilarious.
That's not right.
To get your vehicle. Oh, they got one of them new crash avoidance technology vehicles, dog. Let's hack into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hacking into our water system. They were hacking to that too.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. All I would say would never date a hacker, and have one of them cars, because wherever you think you're going, it ain't going down that way. You're going the other way. But I know, y'all, if you still on the fence about Fantasioso and the crew, gamers are worried. Red Cross gamers are worried that their actions on the virtual battlefield could land them at the Hague War Crimes Tribunal. Yes, the International Committee of the Red Cross, they're saying that the media reports that it's investigating whether the Geneva Conventions applied to video games are false. Yeah.
Now, okay, so is this... Wait.
Yeah. So basically, people who play video games, war games, were afraid that if they committed war games in the video game, atrocities, whatnot, they can be taken to the War Crimes Tribunal and punished.
Was it something that they heard that this was going to happen and they got afraid, or is it just some type of fear that they picked up all on their own?
I'm gonna say this 100. Video games, you commit murders by the dozens, by the hundreds, by the thousands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you afraid that you may get the death penalty?
I'm not.
Right. Because that's what we're saying. Like, oh man, I shot some kids accidentally in the video game. Am I going to get in trouble?
But I live in the real world. We're talking about fantasy also. So we're saying the people, I thought you said it's something about
a war game.
They heard that it was, that they were going to be punished.
Right, but...
So they became afraid.
Right.
So somebody floated a rumor, and then they got a hold of it and ended up just being paranoid because of a rumor.
Pretty much.
Basically. Okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't even though it's a rumor, I know that it seems like it couldn't happen, but remember the virtual reality thing where it's saying you have to show ID even in the virtual reality world and all of these different types of things. Nothing is impossible these days.
Yeah, but...
Because they can say, here's my thing. They can say, because you have this appetite for death and destruction and you play it out on these video games, they could say that you have, this is your real... you know, mentality to kill. They can say that you're really depraved and that you want to kill people.
Yeah.
I mean, they could trump up something. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, look at the world that we're living in. Look at where the world is headed to.
That's why I say fantasy also. it's a group of people that they ain't quite where we at. that kind of stuff, and you can pass me a rumor all day. Oh, I played House of the Dead, and because I killed the zombies, I'm a war criminal. I guarantee you, I'm not gonna lose any sleep over it. I promise you.
I wouldn't say that, but
I'm just saying that's how I look at it now. Yeah. What's real? Fecal transplants. Fecal transplants are real. How do we know? Laura Thompson told us. She is a Rhode Island woman who was working in HIV prevention research when she unexpectedly developed nausea and diarrhea way back in 2008. And she thought she had a stomach virus or something like that. And so in 3 weeks, she dropped 15, 20 pounds. Couldn't sleep or nothing. And all of a sudden, you know, she consults her doctor. And I guess somehow her intestinal lining had become infected with Clostridium difficile or C. diff. I guess it's a bacterium that has gained some kind of antibiotic resistance and is difficult to treat. And so it got worse. She started taking different antibiotics, one Flagyl, which left her nauseating, gave her migraines, and the diarrhea didn't stop. And she switched to vancomycin. Whatever. And she developed yeast infections throughout her body.
Yes, vancomycin.
Yeah, vancomycin.
Yes.
And so it persisted, and she started looking at, okay, alternatives, what can I do? And she had dropped another 40 pounds, and she was getting desperate. So she looked up, and she found fecal transplants, which is inserting strain-diluted feces harvested from someone with a healthy gut into a sick person's large intestines in hope of replacing devastated colonies of bacteria with fresh, undevastated colonies of bacteria.
Woo! Okay.
Yeah.
I feel kind of woozy over here.
Yeah.
So basically, she's taking shit off of somebody.
Right.
Literally.
Yeah. You know how they say, she don't take no shit?
Oh, yes, she do.
She does. we gonna stop you from being too caught up there, because that was way too raw.
Yeah,
I understand. So we gonna go on break here, and because I'm corny and cheesy like that, I'm going back to the old school. This is Big Daddy Kane.
This is the bar of day when man first heard a scratchy noise on a cylindrical drum, accompanied by staccato human tones. It has been his aim to add breadth to his death, to give realism and spaciousness, and even where it applies, to convey actual movement. It's true, I thought to go, my rhymes will flow slow. Get up and dance, cause Kane said so. If you were lounging around, it's time to get up. Pardon my expression, but I'ma tear shit up. I'll be right here, scared, dear. A man must appear that would get a compare. I do declare, getting busy is where it's
can hold his own because I can roll.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Big Daddy Kane, Raw, off of that first classic album, one of couple character albums that my man Big Daddy Kane had. Long Live the Kane. I miss when rappers would like actually get on the mic and just like keep going and you can like dance to it and they didn't like holler at us like I'm just saying.
Or bark at us.
Yeah, I don't need another grown man hollering or barking at me. You know, just grunting. Say that so somebody want to hear it, homie. You know that. Ah. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway. Now, as we've been talking about, we living in a fantasy also world, you know, groups of folks spread out strategically all over the land who are about some stuff that the rest of us can't quite understand. For example, scientists in New Zealand at the Genetic Research Institute there in New Zealand have begun breeding transgender goats equipped with full male anatomy in order to see if the milk they produce will bear similarities with human breast milk. They're lady goats who are trapped inside of male goats. So, and I guess the official term for them are goys.
Oh, you have rendered me speechless.
I had to sit back and think for a minute. Like, okay, hold on. We're talking about you breed lady goats with male, sterile male body parts to see if they can create milk similar to human breast milk. Now, correct me if I'm wrong 100%. Do not female goats already make breast milk?
Exactly.
Now, do not human females produce breast milk?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just checking.
The only thing that I can come up with, and I'm sure that you agree, is that they're going to be doing the breast milk thing is just a cover up, or the milk thing is just a cover up.
Mm.
They're doing some type of crossbreeding or whatever, you know, some genetic, you know,
it's kind of obvious
to see it in those animals. Why do they always test stuff on animals first? To see how effective it would be in humans as well.
Well, all I know,
this crossbreeding, why would you have to crossbreed an animal and make it a male and a female just to get milk out of it when it already produces milk?
Right. Why do you need to make a female goat trapped? Why do you need a transgender goat?
Right.
Now, the conspiracy theorist in me would say, hey, if you talking about breastfeeding your kid, that would be the best thing to do. Buying the milk that they're selling probably would not be a good idea right about now.
Right.
Just, if they making transgender goat milk,
that's just horrible.
I don't know what you get out of that.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean that's a wow to the next level of the game.
Why would you want to make a transgender goat?
Right. A confused ass goat with some confused ass milk.
A goat is already damn confused already to begin with, and then you want to mess it up even more by, what did you say, a female trapped in a male's body?
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're trying to create some hormones that you can pass on to humans.
Mm-hmm.
You can create confusion in humans if they drink. I mean, because I would be scared to see men who all of a sudden they start lactating, they develop breasts, and they can feed. That would be kind of different.
That would be quite nasty. But look at the effects that, remember mad cow disease, and people were feeding the diseased cows to healthy cows, and then people were eating those cows and they ended up sick and having different psychological problems, and all of them died. It's the same thing. You feed an unhealthy milk to people and the same thing is going to happen. They might not start growing titties and stuff, but they're eventually going to die because it's not right.
There's an issue there that is just, there's a hormonal thing. It's a chemical. It's like chemical warfare.
Yeah, that's actually kind of scary.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, as we think about it, and this kind of thing is not illegal, but in Israel, Beverly Hills, L.A., if you declaw your cat, you can spend a year in jail. But I can create a transgendered goat
and feed it to you.
Right.
that's just gonna be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
have your pet spayed or neutered, so you can kind of do the winker out. You can sew her little stuff up, but you can't declaw them because that's inhumane.
Right. But you can drink this transgender goat milk from the sterile female goat trapped in the male's body.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm standing in line for that.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
I think we didn't opened up a can of worms here.
Well, I think it's a little bit worse than worms.
Oh, wow.
That's a tad bit worse than worms.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
take it a step further.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but that's the conspiracy theorist in me. You listener, you decide on whether or not you would like to drink the divine nectar that is transgender goat milk. Yeah. Now, speaking of donations to society, you know, I always gotta ask the hard questions out here. Down in your neck of the woods, Miss 100%. Bill Johnson, who is now a hero of mine. I didn't know anything about Bill Johnson, and now I stand with Bill. Bill is my homie. I'm down with Bill. You know, we got to see if we can try and get Bill on the show one day. Bill Johnson, a former gubernatorial candidate for governor, and politician, he has been donating his sperm in, coincidentally, New Zealand. See, he runs the Christchurch earthquake recovery with his wife Kathy, but also on the side, using his online persona, Church Bill, he meets up with women who want to help to get pregnant. Yeah, he's met up with, he's discussed making donations to at least 9 women. 3 are now pregnant, and he's assisted 3 more in donations in the past month.
Okay, and what's wrong with that?
I was like, he's a hero. People who are asking to get pregnant and don't know where to turn, Bill is like, yo, I got you.
You know what? You know why they would have a problem with it? Because it takes business away from sperm banks in fertility clinics, because normally if you go about it, I guess the legal way, you would pay tens of thousands of dollars to have somebody you know take your eggs and put them in, you know, another woman's body so that, and carry your baby. Or if you had it was the man that had the problem, you know, the woman would go to the sperm bank and get sperm, or she didn't have anybody to get her pregnant, she would go to the sperm bank. So by him just cutting out the middleman, which is the sperm bank and the fertility clinic,
right,
now there's a problem.
Yeah, he goes straight
to the source.
He's like,
I don't see nothing wrong with it.
Hey, he got the email. He emailed, yo, if you need sperm donated to you, holler at me. They hollered. And their prayers have been answered.
They wanted a child, and he's helping them.
Yeah. I look at it like he's helping those who are crying out to help.
Yeah. Well,
is vital missionary work.
I just don't understand why the church building. I just, why even put that in? I mean, how you should, it kind of gives you away if you try to create a fake identity or fake persona online.
But who says that he created a fake ID? Church Bill. His name is Bill.
So he wasn't trying to hide anything.
Oh, he's Church Bill. The only people that, like you said, if he would have donated to a sperm bank, nobody says anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a done deal. I mean, right now, I can go down to the sperm bank, drop some off, it's no biggie. And I'll get paid for it.
Get paid for it.
Right. But if I go to New Zealand and drop some off, folks are like, something wrong with him. He living foul.
Right. And there was nothing wrong with the guy who fathered 70 kids and they made a reality show out of it. But there's something wrong with this guy who is actually, you know, who's helped. They saw the other guy as helping people. So what's the difference with him? Because he's going to New Zealand?
I don't know. I look at it, hey, if you can do it at a sperm bank, if you go straight to the source, I mean, if the women decide, hey, boom, I want you to donate sperm. And both parties agree, they're adults. And there it is. What?
The only thing I can see wrong is if his wife didn't know about it and he was actually having sex and, you know what I'm saying, cheating on his wife with people in New Zealand to get them pregnant. That would be kind of messed up. But well, if his wife, you know.
Well, supposedly she was on board with it.
Well, then that's nothing.
And they were lesbian couples involved also.
So if, okay, well then it's enough said. So the people that find something wrong with this are the ones that live in the fantasioso world.
Right. The people who find something wrong with it, that's the fantasioso people. They can't understand that Bill, American hero.
Right.
You know, you don't hear that music in the background in the flat waving.
This that same group that always thinks that sex is dirty and bad, but they're the people that secretly can't get enough of it.
Yeah, they're the people who are tapping their shoes in the bathroom and inserting themselves in glory holes.
Oh God, that's something.
And speaking of that, another question. I mean, because we, you know, the question was Bill wrong?
I just can't deal with you. So Henry
Allen Fitzsimmons, he gets 2 years for giving scholarship in exchange for spanking. He had an agreement with some young ladies. He pled guilty to aggravated sexual battery. It says that he agreed to provide an allowance in college tuition to women under a so-called scholarship program. As part of the plan, the women agreed to be spanked if they violated certain rules, such as failing to call Fitzsimmons or drinking alcohol.
Let me clarify.
Clarify.
These women needed money for a scholarship. He was giving money for a scholarship. There was no sex. It was just spanking. And they agreed to allow him to spank them if they didn't call him or if they were to consume alcohol. That was the agreement.
Yeah.
Where's the battery? Where's the assault? Did they think that he was not serious? Anytime a person is into stuff like that, they take that mess seriously. They eat, sleep, and breathe like a dominatrix. She means business. She's not playing. So, I mean, people look at it as a fantasy world, but they take their fetish very seriously.
But see, what we're saying is this. I don't see, if you agree to the spanking.
Exactly. You agree to it. How is that assault and battery if you agree to let him spank you?
I mean, you agreed to take that money.
Exactly. So shouldn't they have to give the money back, or shouldn't he sue them in civil court to get that money back because they were for breach of contract?
Something like that. But I'm guessing they got to keep the money. And they
see how that's legal.
Avoided that spanking.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't see who would turn down a good spanking every now and then. I just don't get any money. Oh.
On that note, we're going to go on break. Oh, my God. Breach of contract. This is Lil Brother. Woo. Still lives through.
Oh, man, my bad. I missed your bar mitzvah, man. Hey, I'll catch you later. Well, keep it moving. Stay up. One. Holler. All right, talk.
Every lifetime is a lesson. This is what I find.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No matter who you are.
It don't matter.
Gonna have your time.
It's time to come up, baby.
Whatever goes.
Come on. It's whatever.
Show is taped in front of a live studio audience at Chop Shop Studios in Durham, North Carolina. Funding for the Minstrel Show is provided by the Atlantic Group in association with ABV Records. Production designed by Frank William Miller Jr. Executive producers Lois and Carmen Denominator. On behalf of everyone at the UBN Network, this is your announcer Pete Rosenberg saying thank you for tuning in to the biggest colored show on earth.
Together you gotta be Drummer, smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Two Spoons Drama. That was Lil Brother. Still Lives Through off of their classic album, the one that BET refused, showed a video off of The Minstrel Show.
Why? Because they wasn't shaking their ass enough?
Oh, well, the whole album had a bamboozle theme to it. Yeah, it was one of the greatest albums that I've ever had the pleasure of listening to. It's just awesome. It was bamboozled as a soundtrack. Just,
so we can have artists depicting that type of behavior. Will you call it?
Cool.
What is it that you call Tyler Perry?
Buffoonery. Cooney.
We have other artists depicting that, but when it's put in their face, is all of a sudden it's wrong, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Something like that. Oh, man. And anyway, speaking of some buffoonery and what is a classic fantasy also move, Indiana, their state government has discovered $320 million in funds it didn't know it had. I guess the officials stumbled across it while going over the budget. They said it was a programming omission. And they continue on to say, hey, you know what? This is like playing Monopoly as far as I'm concerned. We just drew the community chess card and collect not 200, but something much more. Now,
that's crazy. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, now, so you know, this guy, Daniels, Mitch Daniels, who's the governor, he's the one who made this statement, and he used to serve under George W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's, you know, the line of intelligence. It is it's rolling downhill on that.
Mm-hmm. Two things. One, the person that found the money, I don't think they're going to have a job for long because what they did was they uncovered or discovered somebody's secret pocketbook. You know what I mean?
yeah, you think?
They have been taking a few dollars here, a few thousand there, and putting it in the secret hiding place, and then this smart person comes along and discovers it. You $320 million, that's not something that you just you know, that just disappears.
Oh, no. Hold on. Now, I rebuke that. You can lose $320 million. Okay. They just proved this in the Indiana.
Well,
look at you. You have you been in Indiana?
The second thing I was going to say was, how can there be money problems if you have so much money that you're putting it in places and forgetting about it? Like, I do that with my money. Like, if I'm budgeting and this is for this is for that, and, you know, I put a little $20 or $30 aside for my own self, and I'm like, damn, I forgot I had this little $5 in this little compartment that I was going to save for something for myself.
Yeah.
They have too much money, and they don't know how to handle it.
You said $5, though.
Well, I'm just saying, just an analogy, just, you know.
$5.
If I was rich, then it would be $320 million.
You talking about losing, misplacing $5.
I mean, but that's how it happens. It turn out to be $320 million in one day or month or year. That's something that happened over time where they misappropriated funds because they didn't know what to do with it. And then I guess the computer allocated it all to one certain area or one account, and it was just sitting there, and nobody paid attention to it.
Yeah. All I'll say is this, people in Indiana, Fool me once, shame on you. I mean, shame on, yeah, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
But like I said, that's just a possibility. The first possibility is what I feel.
Right.
That was somebody's secret little pocketbook or secret hiding place where they had been embezzling money for a while.
Well, yeah, we know that.
That's all that was.
Yeah, we know that. I'm just saying that people in Indiana, if you're listening, if you vote for Mitch Daniel, a man who could lose $320 million, if you can vote for anybody in Congress who was a part of that whole council and they lost $320 million, then y'all all stupid. That's all I'm saying.
Say it's like playing Monopoly. We pull the community chess card.
Yeah.
I was just laughing. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just slapping. It's just, hey, you know, y'all just, it's done. Everybody should be fired. Everybody, because, you know, if you working as a cashier and your drawer is $3.20 short, you're there all night trying to figure out, where did that $3.20 go?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to balance it.
That's right.
So, or you're fired.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't think nothing else needs to be said. Unless, you know, everybody's part of that Fantasioso group. And you think that type stuff is cool. You know, I mean, because maybe it's them people like out here in California, they talking about amnesty for illegal immigrants. Now, I ain't going to spend too much time on it, just saying that amnesty for illegal immigrants just means that they need somebody to keep white people mad at. You know, because if you get rid of all the illegal immigrants, then the white people start looking at the other white people that are messing them over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as it's not like black folks is doing that stuff no more. They ain't really that mad at us because we kind of ain't relevant no more to them. They own to the Mexicans. So you got to kind of, I'm just saying, that's
okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, you keep them mad, and that way, when you have these secret prisons that they find in Romania and places like that, no worries. You know, they finding out that the CIA operated a secret prison out of Bucharest, capital of Romania, where they were interrogating terrorism suspects. Yeah. Now, it wouldn't be no coincidence that we are interrogating terrorism suspects when, as we just saw, a law passed where the police can hold you indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
Indefinitely. Like a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
In a secret prison.
See, that's the way to get this kind of crap over on the public so that there's no public uprising or nobody makes a big stink about it to say terrorism. You say terrorism, everybody's pissing on themselves because you say terrorism.
Mm.
But they're the real terrorists because they can snatch you out of your house for no reason, but just because they think that you're doing something wrong. If they feel like you're doing something wrong, snatch you and your whole family out of your house, don't give you a lawyer if you ask for it, and hold you in prison for the rest of your life.
Without charging you.
Without charging you with anything.
Right. You just locked up, but you don't know why you're locked up. No one knows why you're locked up. Now, if you don't think that it can happen, people, the Pentagon, an endeavor that was voted on under Slick Willie, 1997, not George Bush. It's called the 1033 program. which gave more than $500 million of military gear to the U.S. police since 1997. It was passed by Congress to help law enforcement fight terrorism and drugs, despite the statistics saying there's a 40-year low in violent crime. But, so you know, police, they have now more assault rifles, helicopters, armored vehicles, and grenade launchers. Because, you know, you never know when you need to launch that grenade into a crack house.
Right.
Think about that for a second. 1997, this stuff has been enacted.
And they've been stockpiling weapons.
Since 97.
Weapons and supplies to wage war against us, the American public.
Right. Think about that for a second. All the Occupy movements, whatnot. As I said, I didn't know what they were occupying. You throw that out there. Oh, they're terrorists. They're youth out of control. Who moves in? The police, who've been armed since 97, getting ready for the last 14 years for such an event.
Mm-hmm.
A group of circumstances like that.
Yeah.
Now, some people can say 100 that we conspiracy theorying on this, but the facts just it just seem they just start all coming together at this time right now, rather coincidentally, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Just I don't know about anybody else, but it seems odd that all your rights is gone, police can lock you up. No problem. Police have been given gear for the last 14 years, and now it's right here and now upon you. Martial law?
Yeah, it just my mind just keeps flashing back to the Occupy movement when they were protesting, but they were sitting down with heads bowed, and the guy was just spraying the pepper spray on them in that big giant canister like he was watering the lawn. He's just going back and forth. And people had opinions about it, but nobody was, to me, nobody was upset about it.
Right, because it's agent provocateur. And on that note, we're going to thank everybody for listening. Thank you, Miss 100%, for being the great co-host that you are. Special shout out to my bloggers who, y'all crazy. Y'all have lost y'all mind. If y'all could see what was in chat room, oh, tear inducing. But on that note, I'm Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word. For my co-host, Miss 100%, we're Smooth Drama, and we out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
Smooth Drama. Smooth.